Praise the Lord. I welcome you to the Bible study tonight, your own Bible study. Make it yours so that you will know that every time, if you are not there, you'll be wondering who is going to be there. You ought to be here every time, and we pray that the Lord will open your eyes and you'll behold wondrous things out of the word of God tonight. And every time, in Jesus' name, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Bible study. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for the light of the Holy Spirit that beams upon the word and it guides us into all truth. We're asking, Lord, that tonight once again, you will be with each of your people. And everyone, as we study together, the brother, the sister, the boy, the girl, everyone, we pray, Lord, you'll make us to see what we ought to see and make us to experience your love afresh, experience your power afresh, and experience all the Christian experiences we ought to have in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, we come back to the gospel according to St. Mark. The gospel, that's the good news. And now we're getting near the time of the finality of that good news being effected. Jesus Christ is moving now rapidly to the cross. Very soon, the arrest will come. The betrayal will come. Very soon, the crucifixion will come. Very soon, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf, on my behalf, as a substitute, as a savior, as a final sacrifice. Very soon, that will come. And then eventually the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're moving fast to that event. And then he would have accomplished everything the Father sent him to accomplish. And you will hear him say, "It is finished." Now we come back to Mark as we're moving on in Mark chapter 14. Tonight we're looking at verses 22 to 42. There are a lot of things here that we need to learn. But the caption of the topic tonight is Christ's supplication before his vicarious sacrifice. You understand the word sacrifice from the Old Testament? Sacrifices have been offered. But now Jesus Christ is going to offer the final sacrifice. The word vicarious, it means it's for another. It's for you. It's for me. And what he did, the sacrifice and the price he paid for your redemption and for your salvation and for the totality of the blessings of God upon your life, upon our lives, is a vicarious sacrifice. But then before that time, that is before the crucifixion, before the vicarious sacrifice, we have his supplication, his supplication. And now, as we look at this tonight, a lot of verses, so well, I'll reserve the reading of the verses to when we get into the study. There are 3 points we're getting to tonight. Number one, we're looking at the bread and the blood of the new covenant. Actually, after the last Passover, you remember our last study? It was studied about the Passover, the first Passover, the last Passover, the final Passover, and the fulfilled Passover. Now, after that, he now instituted the Lord's Supper and introduced the bread, a symbol and emblem of his body. He introduced the wine, that is the fruit of the vine, which is an emblem of his blood. And he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. This is my blood that is given for you of the new covenant." That's why we title that the bread and the blood of the new covenant. Point number two, the backsliding and the breaking of numerous consecrations. And that's the section where after Jesus had revealed to his disciples that he was going to be betrayed and then he'll be slain, he'll be killed. And then everyone began to make consecration. "I will go with you. I will die with you. And no matter what happens, nothing will separate me from you." numerous consecrations, the breaking of those consecrations, and the backsliding ensuing because of that. Point number two then is the backsliding and the breaking of numerous consecration. And now we come to point number three, which is the burden and the bleeding of our notable Christ. That is, Christ prayed. He told his disciples, "I'm sorrowful unto death." And in the prayer, he was bleeding. He was actually sweating blood. The burden of Christ as Savior, when he took all the sins of the world upon him, the burden of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that is to take the sin of the world away, and the bleeding, his heart was bleeding. And his heart was bleeding because of you. His heart was bleeding because of your sin and because of our sins. The burden and the bleeding of our notable Christ. We are coming back to verse 22 now of Mark chapter 14. The first point, the bread and the blood of the new covenant. Look at verse 22 here. It says in verse 22, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and break it and gave to them and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.'" And then he tells us in verse 23, "And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it." In verse 24, he says, "And he said unto them, 'This is my blood of the New Testament. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many.'" In verse 25, he tells us, "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Verse 26, after the conclusion of that Lord's Supper that he introduced, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." I want you to underline that in your Bible. You know, sometimes when we sing, you think that singing is peculiar to us. Christ also sang, and his disciples also sang, when they had sung an hymn. Congregational song, when they sang together, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Those verses I've read to you now. There are three things we're going to consider there. Number one is the remembrance of his priceless body. The remembrance of his priceless body. Number two is the redemption through his precious blood. He said, "This is my blood. It is shed for many for the redemption and for the ransom and for the forgiveness and for the salvation of many as will believe." The redemption through his precious blood. And then he made a revelation that when we get to the kingdom, we're going to drink with him, we're going to eat with him, and we're looking forward to that, the revelation for his purified bride. Let's come to number one. Number one there, the remembrance of his priceless body. In verse 22, it says, "And as they did eat," that means they had finished the Passover. And that was for Israel. That was for the Jews. And when Christ finished the sacrifice, the Passover will not have any value anymore. But now everything will center on Christ. So now in instituting the Lord's Supper, which is to commemorate the salvation, the redemption of humanity, that he paid the price for. Jesus took bread and he blessed and break it. Remember, they had finished eating for the Passover. They had fulfilled all that was written concerning the Passover. Now he took bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread. Why? Because his body was going to be beaten. His body was going to be broken. His body was going to be slain. His body was going to be smitten for us. Because of that, illustrating that, he blessed that bread, he broke that bread, and then gave them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." His bread, a piece of bread, and yet it represented his body. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, First Corinthians chapter 11, reading from verse 23. It tells us in verse 23, please open your Bible, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. All the apostle told the Corinthians, he said, he wasn't giving them or teaching them or preaching to them just some ideas from his head, some notions in his life, or some principle of Proverbs that he gathered a rage here and there. But he said, I delivered unto you what I received of the Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And then we're told in verse 24, it says, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, he break it, he broke that bread and said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's why we title this first part, the remembrance of his priceless body. What are we to remember? We're to remember that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was beaten, was slain, and was broken for us. And it had a purpose. What's the purpose? Isaiah chapter 53. And we're reading from verse 4. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him. Look at this. Stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The body was stricken. The body was smitten and the body was afflicted. And that's what he illustrated when he broke the bread. My body is going to be broken. My body is going to be smitten. Look at verse 5. It says in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He wounded his body. And he put the crown of thorns upon him and he threw the spear at his side. His body literally was bruised. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes were healed. That's the reason why. And so when you remember what Christ did, that the body, the blessed body of Christ, the precious body of Christ, the priceless body of Christ was broken for you, was broken for all of us, then we understand. If you are sick, by stripes you are healed. In fact, we are told in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're reading from verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 24. Look at this. It says, who his own self in his own body bear our sins in his own body. That's the body we're talking, the priceless body. And the precious body that Jesus Christ had that was broken. And he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. He healed us spiritually. He healed us physically. And he healed us emotionally. He healed us in every way because of his precious body that was broken. And it says, remember that all the time. Anytime you have a challenge, anytime you have affliction, anytime you have sickness, anytime you have any arrow, any attack coming, look at the Lord Jesus Christ in your mind. And by faith, claim what he has done for you, remembering his precious body. Now we come to the second part of this, and this is the redemption through his precious blood. We're coming back to Mark chapter 14 and verse 23. Mark chapter 14, verse 23. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And they all drank of it. In verse 24, it says in verse 24, and he said unto them, and is saying unto you as well, this is my blood of the New Testament, of the New Covenant. The old covenant is past. All the sacrifices of the old testament, old covenant, all that is gone. It says, you have no more to continue the Passover, which was given to the children of Israel to commemorate the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. But now, I am the center and the foundation and the pivot of the New Testament, my body and my blood. My body and my blood, they represent all that you need in the new covenant. This is my blood of the New Testament, new covenant, which is shed for many. As, let's come back to 1 Corinthians once again and see what the Apostle Paul is saying when he said, I gave unto you that which I received of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, he says, after the same manner also, he took the cup. Look at this. Paul the Apostle was not there because he wasn't converted at that time. It was years later, after Christ had ascended to heaven, after the Pentecost, that Paul became converted. But you know what? The same thing that happened that night before the betrayal, before the crucifixion, the same thing was revealed unto him. Maybe you were not here when the ministry, the Power Christian Life ministry, when it started. As you come on and as you join in, all that God gave us at the very beginning, the whole world, and he commanded us and he told us, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You cannot say, I was not born at that time. I was not born again at that time. I was not there at that time. So that's for them. Paul the apostle came later, born again later, and the same sin the Lord committed into his son. And now he reminded the people that in the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had sought, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. What's that blood to do? As you look at verse 26, it says in verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Ye do show, number one, the Lord's death. You look back at what Christ has done when he said, it is finished. Salvation is now available. Look back to the cross. You show the Lord's death, what he did in the past. Sanctification is now here. And all redemption is now here. As you look back, then you look also, you look forward. Because it says, you show the Lord's death in the past till he come. That's in the future. You're looking back at what he has done. And you're looking forward to what he's going to do. What has the blood done? The blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, we're reading from verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, we're looking at verse 7. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You know what the Lord is telling us? He doesn't want us to take the Lord's Supper as ritual, as tradition. And there are people that, you know, take it like tradition, they take it like ritual, and they say sacrament, and they say the Lord's Supper, and they say Eucharist, whatever name they give it. He wants us to remember that the body was broken for us. Our healing is assured. He wants us to remember the blood that was shed for us, the redemption that he gave to us. Look at this, verse 7 clearly. Look at this, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption. What's that redemption? It said the forgiveness of sin. How does it come? Through his blood, according to the riches of his grace. It tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In verse 16, it says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed, redemption, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. How dare were we redeemed? Verse 19 tells us, it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. You understand what the Lord is telling us? He's telling us that salvation comes through the blood of the lamb. Sanctification comes through the blood of the Lamb. In new life, new redemption, it comes through the blood of the Lamb. We have left the old covenant. We have left the Passover. We now come to the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper, this is what we remember. At the time of the Lord's Supper, his body broken for us, we're healed. And his blood shed for us, we're saved. Look at this now. In Mark chapter 14, verse 25. The revelation for his purified bride. The revelation for his purified bride. It says in Mark chapter 14, verse 25. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. You understand what the Lord is saying? He had been telling them, I'll be betrayed, but it says, that's not the end. I'll be crucified. It says, that's not the end. I'll be taken away from you. He said, now you are sorrowful because I tell you that I'm leaving, because I tell you I'm going, but that's not the end. And then I will go. I go to prepare a place for you, but that's not the end. Look at this. I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. I'm still going to gather all the saints unto myself, all the believers unto myself. There is a temporary separation now between the Messiah and the redeemed, between the master and the followers, between the shepherd and the sheep. There is a temporary separation. And so, In your taking of the Lord's Supper, I'll not be physically there. But the day will come when he comes back again. He's telling us rapture will take place. And then we shall be quickened. We shall be changed. And we shall be with him. We'll be forever with him. And at that time, we will eat with him. We will drink with him. Look at Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, I'm reading from verse 30. Luke chapter 22, we're looking at verse 30. It says that ye may eat and drink at my table. Look at this. In my kingdom. It says, I'll be going away, but then I will come again. And when I come again, we'll fellowship together. And you will eat. This one is literal. This one is literal. It's not talking about something spiritual. Okay, we're dining with him now. We're eating with him. No, 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 no. It's talking about the real kingdom. It says that she may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That means then the time will come when we will see him as he is. We're purified and we're sanctified. We're part of the bride of the Lamb and we will be with him. And let's move forward to Revelation chapter 19 and see the glorious time that will come. Revelation chapter 19, reading from verse 7. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, it says, let us be glad and rejoice when that time comes, when that day comes, when we sit with him and we dine with him and we eat and drink with him in his kingdom. There will be time for joy. There will be reason for joy. I pray you'll not be missing at that time. In Jesus' name, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife, his bride, has made herself ready. In verse 8, it says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed and clothed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You have to be a saint. You have to be saved. You have to be sanctified. You have to be purified. And you have to be part of the bride to take part in this. And then in verse 9, it says, and it says unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb. That's when the day comes that he establishes the kingdom, and then we sit with him and we eat and drink with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says unto me, these are the true sayings of God. I pray you'll be there in Jesus' name. Say amen. God bless you. We come to point number two now. As we come to point number two, we're looking at verse 27 to verse 31. Let's look at that in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, we're looking at verse 27. It says, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, but after that I am risen. After that I am risen. Can I tell you something? The Lord was always looking forward. There are many people always looking back. What happened to me in the primary school? What happened to me in the secondary school? What happened to me when I was young? And the situation in the family. I come from this kind of family and that kind of family. And what happened? And they carry that load. And they carry that baggage with them. They never look forward. Jesus was always looking forward. He said, I'm going to be crucified, but don't be too sorrowful because of that. Something else is going to happen. I will rise, but after that, I am risen. Always look forward. Look at the promise of God and look forward. And look at the prophecies of the Bible and look forward. And look at the privileges you have in Christ and look forward. Whatever happened in the past, whatever is happening today, in the case of Jesus Christ, that night, he was going to be crucified. Whatever happens in the night and whatever happens during the week, we always look forward. It will not always be like this. Resurrection power will come and you will rise from that situation. But after that, I am risen. I will go before you into Galilee. It says in verse 29, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, here is consecration. But this consecration, he was not thoughtful. He was not sensitive to what Christ had said. But he made the consecration anyhow. Although all shall be offended, yet will I not. Yet I will not. Yet will not I. And he tells us in verse 30. In verse 30, and Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Verse 31, and he emphasized his consecration again, but he speak the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, look at that, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also, not only Peter, likewise also said they all. As we look at this section, the backsliding and the breaking of numerous consecrations, we're looking at three things. Number one, the prediction of our infallible Christ. The prediction of our infallible Christ. And look at that Mark again, chapter 14, and look at verse 27. It says, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. You see, Jesus Christ knew that scripture will be fulfilled. And because of that, he reminded them of the scripture. And he said, this is the night when that scripture will be fulfilled. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Which scripture was the Lord Jesus Christ referring to? Look at Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. You see what Jesus Christ was referring to? Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. You remember? And because of the good shepherd, I give my life for the sheep. And this night, the night of betrayal, the night of crucifixion, was when the scripture will be fulfilled that he will give his life for the salvation, redemption, ransom of all that will believe. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, says the Lord of hosts. You see something here? The Father, That's God in heaven, the Lord of hosts. That's how many of the prophets in the Old Testament refer to God the Father. The Lord of hosts, God said, he is my fellow. He's man, but he's my fellow, says the Lord of hosts. That means he has divinity, he has humanity. He is man and he is God as well. And it says, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. It says, he will smite the shepherd. He will smite the one that is to give his life for us. And now he proclaimed that it was the prediction of the infallible Christ. And they should have understood that Christ, whatever he says, will come to pass. But instead of just agreeing with that and going to pray and saying, oh Lord, I will not betray you, I will not deny you. Let's come back to Mark chapter 14. And we're reading from verse 29. Number two now, the profession of incapable Christians. The profession of incapable Christians. In Mark chapter 14, reading from verse 29. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Look at verse 30. In verse 30, it says, Jesus says unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Look at verse 31. In verse 31, but he speak the more vehemently, if I shall die with thee, if I shall die with thee. Hold on for a moment. Peter must have been thinking, I can remember the people, even in the Old Covenant, even in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were ready to die for the faith. Even if I die, I go to the fire like them. I don't mind. But you understand? It's not something we just say, Shadrach did it, Abednego did it, and Meshach did it because of that. I can do it without prayer. You cannot. Without grace, you cannot. Without backbone, you cannot. Without soaking yourself in the grace of God, in the might of God, you cannot. Maybe Peter was thinking of Daniel. He went to the lion's den. Whatever it will take, this is now the new covenant. I know I can and I know I will. But you know, my friend, you cannot just say because Daniel did this and that's the old covenant, I will have a better covenant now, therefore I can do it. We must pray. And you remember when Jesus told them, pray, your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter didn't pray. The disciples didn't pray. They just thought, others have done it, we can do it. And so Peter was making a kind of consecration that was impotent, that didn't have any value, didn't have any power. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. But he couldn't stay by that consecration. You see, we who are Christians now, we're born again, we're children of God, we must pray. And we must pray earnestly. Look at the way Jesus prayed. We must pray like that and make sure we commit ourselves to the Lord afresh every time, that whatever temptation will come, whatever pressure will come, by the grace of God, not in my strength, by the grace of God, not in my boastfulness, by the grace of God, I will stand. And that grace will make us to stand. But we have the profession of an incapable Christian, the profession of incapable Christians. And let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. 1 John chapter 3, we're looking at verse 18. It says, my little children, let us not love in word only, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. My little children, You're born again. You're a child of God. Now you must remember when John said, my little children, was referring to all the believers because he was much advanced in age at this time. And he said, believers, beloved, my little children, let us not love the Lord in word. Let us not love one another in word only. Let us not love the Bible in word only. Let us not love the Christian faith in word only, neither in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. Don't make empty professions, and don't make professions that are not grounded in the, are not soaked with prayer, are not soaked with real consecration, not just word. Let us understand that profession without practice is vain. In fact, that's why James tells us in chapter 2, verse 17. James chapter 2, verse 17. It says in James chapter 2, verse 17, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Even so, consecration, if it does not follow with action, is dead, being alone. Even so, profession, if it doesn't have any root, if it doesn't have corresponding action, is dead, being alone. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, it says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Profession without practice makes us vain. Promising the Lord consecration without corresponding action makes us vain. The Lord looks at us as vain people, as people that don't have any value. We don't have any worth, just making profession, just making promise, and then we cannot fulfill what we're saying because there's no prayer, because we're not laying ourselves on the altar once again. Well, thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. In verse 26, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And let's come back to Mark chapter 14. We're looking at verse 31. Mark chapter 14, verse 31. Look at the last line there. Have you ever noticed this? Likewise also said they all. You know, many times we have thought it was only Peter that said vehemently, it was only Peter that promised the Lord, even if I have to die with you, I will die with you. It wasn't only Peter. Likewise also said they all. And they parroted what Peter said. You know, just like parrots, we hear another person making consecration, I will die with you, I will go with you, I will lay everything on the altar. And as we're eavesdropping on the prayers of other people, on the consecration of other people, we like parrots say the same thing. We like parrots, we pronounce the same thing. And the parrot, although has the ability to copy the voice of a man and say what the man is saying, the parrot does not understand what he's saying. It's just a parroting word he has heard and heard all the time. All these other disciples think about that. This is the parroting of incompetent cowardice. The promise of incompetent cowards. These cowards, they themselves, if you look at verse 50 of that same Mark chapter 14, we're looking at verse 50 now. It tells us in verse 50, look at this, and they all forsook him and fled. These are the people that likewise, they said the same thing, but there's no strength. They were cowards and they all fled. They all forsook him and fled. The Lord is telling us something, that as we promise the Lord, we'll go back to the Lord in prayer. You know, sometimes you hear the Bible study, or sometimes it's revival hour, or sometimes it's Sunday worship, and what you hear grips you, and what you hear, you know, has a great impact on you, and it makes you to say, Lord, I'm ready now, I will go with you, and we don't pray. That promise by itself is not sufficient. That consecration by itself is not sufficient. without going to your inner chamber, into your room, and kneeling down between you and God and opening the Bible and saying, Lord, I see that this is what you have said, this commitment I'm going to have, and this consecration I'm going to have, I will not compromise. Make sure you soak it in, into your heart, into your life, with prayer. And we're coming to point number three now. In point number three, we're looking at the burden and the bleeding of our notable Christ. We're coming to Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, we're reading from verse 32. Mark chapter 14, verse 32. And he came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. I shall pray. You think about Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the mighty one, the Holy One. You think about Jesus Christ that has power, has authority, and yet he didn't say, Calvary, I'm ready. If that had been decided before the world began, I know that's why I came. I can do it. Satan, he met me in the garden and I defeated him. Temptation, trial, no problem. I can do it. But you know what he said? He says, while I shall pray. If Christ, our Lord, had to pray, then you too, you have to pray. And I pray that this same understanding you will have and you will pray in Jesus' name. We're looking at the burden and the bleeding of our notable Christ. There are three things we're looking at here. Number one, the sorrow of our sin-bearing substitute. The sorrow that Jesus had is a sin-bearing substitute. Number two is the supplication of our sinless Savior. The supplication of our sinless Savior. Point number three, the submission of our spotless sanctifier. Let's come back to number one. It's in Mark chapter 14, reading from verse 32 to verse 34. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. Look at verse 33. And in verse 33, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John. Can we stop there for a moment? The Lord Jesus Christ just discussed with them now. And Peter made that consecration. And Jesus said, Peter, you cannot fulfill that consecration. And you ought to pray because you're weak. And as he was now going to pray, he took with him Peter. You know, there are some leaders, some pastors, they act on what has not even happened. I know Peter is going to do this. I know Peter is going to act like this. And already begin to, you know, act as if Peter has done that already. Let's learn from the leadership style of Jesus Christ and let us follow him. And do anything, that thing has not happened, and you are not sure that thing will even happen, but Jesus knew it will happen, and yet he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be so amazed and to be very heavy. Look at verse 34. In verse 34, and he says unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. The sorrow of our sin-bearing substitute. You want to ask the question, why was he sorrowful? What's the reason for this sorrow? We're coming to Isaiah chapter 53, and we're reading from verse 4. Isaiah chapter 53, we're looking at verse 4. I'm sure you are opening your Bible. God bless you. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. In the plural, he has carried our sorrows. He has borne our grief. Why was he sorrowful? Because he was carrying the burden of the sorrows of all the people of the world. All the sufferings the people of the world will go through, he was carrying that. And because of that, it came so much on him. As the Father, as God, will forsake sinners, And if there is no redemption, if there is no redeemer, the father was going to forsake him. And he knew that he was going to bear the punishment of the sins of the old world. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In verse 5 it says in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgression. That's why it was sorrowful. It was bruised for iniquities. That's why it was sorrowful. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Look at verse 6. It says in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, all of us. And because we went astray, he didn't go astray. He was spotless, he was sinless, he was holy, he was bearing the punishment of our sin. He was going to bear all the punishment we should have gone through. Not just the punishment of one man or one woman, of just a family, but of the whole world. And it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's why he had the sorrow. Look at Lamentation chapter 1. Lamentation chapter 1. I'm reading an important verse here, verse 12. Lamentation chapter 1. And we're looking at verse 12. Look at this. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? My friend, is it nothing to you? You hear of the cross of Calvary, you just pass by. You hear of the sorrow of Jesus Christ, you pass by. You hear of the suffering of the way he bore your load and the way he bore your sin, and then you just pass by. You see his agony and you just pass by. Is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, behold and see. If there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, behold and see. Check up in history. Check up in the Bible. If there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Why was the Father, why was God, why was the Lord afflicting him? Why was he bringing all this burden on him? Because he bore our sin. Have you thought about that? Have you prayed about that? Have you said, he took my sin, he took my shame, he took my sorrow, therefore I believe on him? If you have not done that, you should do that. Let it grip you and let it be a burden on you. Let it be like an arrow that is thrown into your heart. Because he bore this sorrow for you. That sorrow led him to supplication. Look at number 2 now. Number 2 is the supplication of our sinless Savior. The supplication of our sinless Savior. We're looking at Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, we're looking at verse 35. And he went forward a little and he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour should pass from him. He went forward a little. He fell on the ground and he prayed. He fell on the ground and he prayed. He wasn't thinking about his posture now. Standing in a dignified way. Kneeling down in a careful, majestic way. Holding his hand and raising his hand to heaven. And then looking up to heaven. He wasn't doing that now. The burden was much, and the sorrow was much, and he fell on the ground, and he prayed. I want to ask you, my brother, you have a challenge, and then you ought to pray. Do you take that to the Lord in prayer? Do you do like the Lord Jesus Christ? Even if you have to pray alone, even if you have to take that challenge to the Lord alone, and look at the Bible, and look at the promises of God, and look at the prophecy of the word, and pray and battle it through all alone by yourself. There are people that are saying, well, I would have been saved, but they are not praying for me. You can pray for yourself. I would have been healed. They are not praying for me. You can claim the promise of the healing. Already Jesus said, it is finished. when there's nobody to support you, when there's nobody to surround you, when there's nobody to lift you up, when there's nobody to help, when there's nobody to partner with you in prayer, you can do like Jesus Christ. After all, he has borne your body. He has taken your sorrow. All you need to do now is to look up to Calvary and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation will come, and healing will come, and redemption will come, and all that he has paid for on the cross of Calvary will come. Therefore, don't give the excuse anymore. Jesus prayed alone. He bore the burden alone. Go to the Lord and pray, and the Lord will answer your prayer. He said, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Look at verse 36. In verse 36, it says, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Is heavy. Nevertheless, not what I will, but as thou wilt. And it's grievous, but yet not I, not what I want, but what you want. It tells us in verse 37, it says, and he cometh, and he findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Verse 38 says, in verse 38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He had his own burden. He had prayed once. Now he came to the disciples. He said, my disciples, you know what? Even though I prophesied, I predicted that Peter, you are going to be tempted and you are going to deny me, I'm not interested that you fall. If you will watch and pray, it's a conditional prophecy. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. I learned something from Christ. You know, there are some people, they make a prophecy. And maybe they got it from God. And they want that negative prophecy to be fulfilled by all means. And they're not going to help the people they are prophesying to. They're not going to help them to come out of that danger, out of that evil. If he comes out of that danger, it will look like I'm a false prophet because I predicted it and the thing does not happen. I will not tell him how to pray. I will not tell him he ought to pray. I will not tell him he ought to what. I want him to fall into that without any remedy, so that it will prove I'm the good prophet of God. Christ was not like that. Let's learn from Christ. He still said, although I said you'll betray me, that's not my wish for you. That's not my will for you. It's a conditional prediction. If you will watch and pray, you will not fall into temptation. I know your spirit truly is ready, but your flesh is weak. In verse 39, it says, and again he went away, and he preached and he spake the same words. And let me help you here now. You know, there are people that say, if you pray for one thing twice, you're not praying in faith. They say, once you have prayed, forget about it. Don't pray again. The problem has not been solved. The strength has not come. The courage has not come. Pray again. If you have to pray the third time, pray again. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, after he prayed and he went away, and he prayed and spake the same words again. There are some people that say that if you say those same words and you pray the same way, it is vain repetition. No, it's coming from the heart, and it is coming from the body of your heart. You don't have any other vocabulary. You don't have any other word to say, and you say those same words that are pouring out of your heart the second time, the third time. That's all right. Exactly what Jesus did. And again, he went away, and he prayed and spake the same words. God answered that prayer. What's the prayer that he prayed? How did God answer him? Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and I'm reading from verse 41. Luke chapter 22, we're reading from verse 41. It says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, And he kneeled down and prayed. Look at verse 42. In verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Look at verse 43 now. In verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. The Lord answered the prayer, and it says, and an angel appeared from heaven. An angel appeared from heaven. God knew that this was going to be a heavy burden, a heavy load. And then God sent the angel to strengthen him. And look at verse 44. And look at the mode of prayer and being in an agony. He prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And it says he prayed earnestly. He prayed fervently. That's how the Lord wants us to pray. That's how the Lord wants you to pray. And when he prayed because of the burden and because of the agony, it says he was sweating, even drops of blood falling on the ground while he was praying. I told you God answered his prayer. God sent an angel from heaven and strengthened him. And look at this verse of scripture, Hebrews chapter 5. We're looking at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5. We're looking at verse 7. Look at this. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Look at this. He was heard in that he feared. Look at that verse. It's referring to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's referring to that prayer that he preached. And it says, in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications, prayers, plural, and supplications, plural, he prayed the first time, he prayed the second time, he prayed the third time, and he offered that with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Oh, you say, but he wasn't saved from death. Can I explain to you? The devil wanted to kill him right there in the garden. With the body, with the load, and the heart was broken already, and the heart was bleeding already, and the blood was oozing out from the pores of the body. And when he was sweating, it wasn't water coming out from the sweat. It was blood coming out. And the angel came and helped him. And he did not die there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible said he prayed with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And he was heard in that he feared. He came up and he rose up in strength and said, children, disciples, let us go. He that betrayeth me is nearby now. He had the courage now and the confidence and the backbone. And then those people came and said, who have you come for? If you have come for me, let these others go. And they took him. They put the crown of thorns on his head and the blood still came out, but that didn't kill him. And then they put a rope on him. They slapped him and he did a lot of things, but now there was strength and there was might. And he went to the cross and his hands were stretched on the cross, and he was able to say everything he ought to say. There was no forgetfulness. Strength had come because of that prayer. And then he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And eventually he said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. He was strengthened. He wasn't killed. He didn't die on the way going to the cross, because he must die on the cross if we're going to be saved. He pierced my hand and he pierced my feet. That's how God answered his prayer. We come now to number three, the submission of our spotless sanctifier. The submission of our spotless sanctifier. It's in Mark chapter 14, and we're reading from verse 36. Mark chapter 14, we're reading from verse 36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will. That's the submission. Nevertheless, not what I will. Nevertheless, it's not what I will, but what thou wilt. But what thou wilt. The Lord submitted to the will of God, to the will of the Father. And we're to have that same commitment, that same consecration. That's what we're told in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that mind of submission to the will of God, that mind of submission to the word of God, that same mind of submission to everything the Lord will permit in your life. And don't be taken by surprise. And don't allow anything to happen to you that you'll say, I won't bear this, I won't accept this. Don't do like that. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Say, not what I will, but as thou wilt. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In verse 7, it says, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And then in verse 8, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, look at this, he humbled himself, he submitted himself, he gave himself, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what the Lord expects of you, my brother, my sister, my boy, my girl. You are born again. You are a child of God. It says you have the mind of Christ in you. What's going to be the result? If you have that mind of Christ, you identify with him, you pray like he prayed, you identify with him, you allow the will of God to be done in your life, you identify with him, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, by his strength, by his faith that lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me because he loved me. If you do that, what's going to be the result? Look at verse 9, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. It says in verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. In verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and of things in earth, and of things under the earth. And then in verse 11, it says in verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What are we learning about all this? What happened to Christ? What Christ did? His sorrow, his supplication, his submission. Look at verse 12. It says in verse 12, therefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, now be like Christ, now act like Christ, and now identify with Christ, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation, work out your own redemption, work out everything the Lord has prepared for you with fear and trembling, and then depend upon God. Verse 13. In verse 13, it says, for it is God. He will help you, for it is God. He lifts the burden, for it is God. He'll finish, finalize all those problems you are thinking about. But it says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. of his good pleasure. That's what we're learning. We'll see what Christ has done. We'll see what the apostles and the disciples, what they promised, but they didn't pray and they didn't make themselves go on their knees or stand on their feet and pray so that they can have the power and they can have the courage and they can have the fortitude to be what God wanted them to be. But God wants to work in you. He wants you to submit unto him, and he wants you to be saved. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants to fulfill all his promises in you. And this is the moment now with all that we have heard. The Bible study is not ended because we are not, talking again. Now you are going to take it to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, like you helped my Savior, my substitute, my sanctifier, help me too. I want to be all I ought to be. Brother, sister, please stand up and let us pray now and let God work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Take what you have learned to the Lord in prayer. He has given us his broken body, and that broken body is for your healing. That broken body is yours, and you will have all the promises of God fulfilled in your life. He has given us his blood. This is the blood that grants us redemption. And because he gives us that blood for our redemption, you can go to the Lord in prayer. It is not enough that we have heard. It is not enough that we have studied. It is not enough that we have read the word. We must go to the Lord in prayer. That's how strength will come. And that's how the experience of salvation will come. That's how the experience of freedom from sin and victory, triumph over temptation will come. Go to the Lord in prayer. And that's how sanctification will come. And you remember that Jesus said the kingdom will come, the kingdom of God. And he will eat and drink with the faithful bride, the purified bride, when that kingdom will come. Look forward to that. Look forward to that. Whatever is happening, whatever you are going through, you see, when Christ will come, he will set the table and he will serve all his own children. I will be there. I will be there. When you get to a crossroad, remember, look forward to that time coming when you will eat and drink with him in the kingdom. When there's pressure, when there's, you know, whatever, always look forward to the fact that he is coming. And then remember the prediction of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will not allow that prediction just to go, and then you are making an empty boast and saying, even if all people backslide, even if everybody goes cold, even everybody, their love is waxing cold, for me, I will stand. Don't boast, don't brag. Understand, the prediction of Jesus Christ is solemn. He said, because iniquity shall abound. He says, the love of many shall wax cold. But you will go and pray and you will say, Lord, my love will not wax cold. Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith on the earth? You are telling the Lord, oh Lord, it's not bragging. Oh Lord, I'm not boasting. But by your grace, by your enablement, you'll find grace, you'll find faith in me when the Son of Man shall come. Would he still find people earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints? So Lord, help me, and you will find faith in me. I'll be earnestly contending for the faith. Don't make any profession that, you are incapable of fulfilling any consecration. You have not prayed through about it. And don't just brag. Whatever happens, other people may fall. Other people may be weak. I am strong. I am powerful. Not like that. Faith without works is dead. Consecration without corresponding action is dead. Get back to the Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. Energize me, Lord. Strengthen my backbone. I don't just parrot what other people are saying. The pastor said, John Wesley said this, give me 100 men, we'll shake the world, we'll move the world. I too, give me 100 men. No, don't just say that. You're not parroting what other people have said. Go back to the cross. Go back to Calvary and say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your power. And then you see the sorrow of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taking your sorrow away. He's taking your sorrow away. Transfer the sorrow to him. Anything has happened, and then you are bearing the sorrow, transfer that sorrow to the Lord. He took your grief and he took your sorrows. And then you see his supplication. You see, a very simple prayer. Oh Lord, this cup, take it from me, but not my will. Thine be done. Let your will be fulfilled in my life. Then you see submission. Lord, I submit. Lord, I surrender. I don't understand this. I surrender. I don't know why this has happened, but I surrender. I don't know why this is taking place around us now, but Lord, I surrender. Be like Christ. And if you're like Christ, like he exalted Christ, in due time, he will exalt you. He will exalt you and give you a fulfillment of all the promises of God, and your life will be a wonder, and it will soon be over. Look at this now, the cross, crucifixion, Calvary. A few hours, everything was over. They took him, betrayed him, crucified him, put the crown of thorns upon him, nailed him to the cross. Few hours, it will be over. Whatever is happening, just tell the Lord and remind yourself, it will soon be over. And if you have submitted to the will of God, through it all, the blessing of God will multiply in your life. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the study today. And we're praying that you write all these words indelibly upon every heart in Jesus' name. We're asking, O Lord, that your grace will see us through, your strength will see us through, and the effect of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary will see us through in Jesus' name. Strengthen your people. Support your people. I pray, O Lord, you give everyone the courage, the boldness to go on in the way of the Lord in submission to your will, whatever it is, all through our lives in Jesus' name. But Lord, help us to have the wisdom, help us to have the knowledge to discern between what is your will and what is the will of the devil. And we pray, Lord, we will never submit, we'll never surrender to the will of the devil. The devil wanted to kill our Lord Jesus Christ right there in the garden, but he prayed and he said, Lord, I don't want to do the will of the devil. I don't want to die the death appointed by the devil. I want to die only the death that will bring salvation, that will bring redemption to the whole of humanity. The same thing, Lord, we will not do the will of the devil. And the will of the devil, the plan of the devil, will not be fulfilled in any of our lives in Jesus' name. And now your will, which will result in total salvation, which will result in total sanctification, and which will result in total triumph. You do that in everybody's life in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. And we pray, Lord, the result of this study will be seen, will be visible in every one of our lives, Lord. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you and continue to strengthen you to abide in his will all the days of your life. Amen.